Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to Pod Watcher, the official podcast of Watcher Entertainment. I'm Ryan Bergara.
I'm Stephen Lim.
Oh, I'm Meredith Edmonds.
And this is a show where we chat about whatever is on our minds every week. And this week we dive into near-death experiences.
Working at Watcher.
And physical hobbies, baby.
And as always, if you are watching this podcast over on youtube.com/watcherpodcast, make sure you hit that like.
Not just YouTube.
And, well, I'm getting to it. Like, okay, and subscribe.
Okay. All right.
And if you're listening to this podcast, also rate the podcast 5 stars and subscribe there. Both of these things will help keep this podcast alive and does help us immensely. So
I got to say, our YouTube viewership, healthy. Healthy. We love you guys.
Could be healthier.
Listeners,
and by you liking and subscribing, it will be healthier.
The audio people, Spotify, Apple, we need some more help there. Maybe we gotta stop doing visual things on this show. We always do like, oh, we bring in like little pencils.
Well, we're gonna do a good job of describing it, painting a beautiful picture with our words.
Yeah, it's not like also particularly interesting to see.
Yeah.
It's
not the self-drag.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, honestly.
We had a magician on, okay? That's what
that
I'm saying.
We had a
visual.
I'm just saying, you all writing on a piece of paper, someone could probably imagine that.
Exactly. Yeah, also, okay. It's just like, you get the best version of us. You don't have to look at us.
But yeah, you can subscribe to all those platforms, and then you'll just, it'll download them automatically, and you can listen to them whichever one you like. So, help us out. Means a lot.
Anyways. Enough begging. Perhaps we get into the episode here. Meredith, could you go ahead and explain what you do here at Watcher?
Oh.
What? You're not going to introduce our special guest? That's usually what we do.
Well, we
talk about her.
Well, I mean, I'm curious. No, okay,
probably people are going to think you don't know.
Stephen, you it feels like you have a nice laid out one liner here.
Yeah, I would love to hear you talk about what I do at Watcher.
I think we both want to hear that. So why don't we start with me and then we go to Meredith about
okay.
what you think your job
is. This is a very simple question.
Is.
I don't realize.
It's very complicated, but I'm intrigued.
Like I'm just being a host here.
Meredith Edmonds is our development coordinator at Watcher.
Yes, yes.
She used to be our executive assistant.
Oh boy.
Yes.
And when I say our, I meant me, Ryan, and Shane. That's 3 jobs in one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about any of us, that is not an easy task.
It is not.
But you did that. You were an amazing assistant, and we had
Thank
to graduate you,
you
away. Otherwise, you probably would have just been fed up with us and left. So,
or killed us.
I did want to box you, and I do respect now that that is not something that's
But that
ever
wasn't
gonna
because
happen.
Of a particular incident in the office.
No.
Somehow somebody had planted the kind of inception seed in your head that you needed to box me. I can't remember who it was.
I think somebody had pitched like Watcher boxing as a show.
What the fuck?
do you know what it was? It was like because there was this crazy trend of YouTubers that were getting in the boxing ring
yes.
and like
right.
making
Creator
millions
Flash.
Of dollars. Yes. And then I was like, my God, do you know what would work? Me and Ryan.
Why me?
Ever loving. I just do think that it would... I think it would have been funny. I think it's the funniest matchup out of me and the three of the bosses. Like, it was just the funniest matchup. I can't really explain why. It's like je ne sais quoi.
I think no matchup is the best matchup.
Fine.
Do you know? I actually don't. I've never taken a boxing class or like any kind of like mixed martial arts.
Well,
I've
you've never taken an MMA class? Because I have. This is also like not me saying like, oh, I'm going to fight you. And I've like never done it before. Like I have mitts and wraps at home. Like I did MMA just for like about a year, basically like
awesome.
Judo.
Just to you.
Like now judo. I know why you wanted to box me. She's going to kick my ass.
No.
I'm going to be up here with the gloves and she's going to kick me right under the chin.
I think you're accusing me of hustling and that's not something that I would ever
do. I think
do.
You would definitely hustle me.
I would never hustle somebody.
I've only been in one fight in my entire life. Have you been in an actual fight?
Maybe? I've never been in an actual fight. So you would have the upper hand.
Yeah,
there.
But my fight was more like a rage fight. It was like this guy who was just kind of racist and like I couldn't take it anymore.
That's a
justice fight.
I was
in middle school, so it wasn't like... A, like, you know, wasn't like a grown-up fight.
That's justice, though.
Yeah.
Okay, realistically, what I do at Watcher, I help now a lot with the merchandise, which has been really exciting and very fulfilling, actually. I'm wearing some right now. You can't tell as much because the logo is on the back. And for the first time, I understand how Shane is like, the logo should be on the front. This is the first time I'm like, the logo should be on the front. Okay, I'm going to try not to spill my coffee.
Sweater?
Oh, I think it's sorry.
Pretty sick.
I hit the mic.
I think it's sick. Showing the back of the...
Ooh.
It's the Ghost Files logo. It's giant.
I think it's a nice sweater.
Massive.
It's like a dartboard.
And there's like a cool little thing on the front.
We should sell dartboards of the Ghost Files logo.
Dartboard?
Oh, dude, I would love a dartboard. I love darts.
A Ghost Files dartboard.
We started playing them on Ghost Files, like on set, on location. When we would travel as a crew, we would separate into teams of three and play cricket.
Ooh.
So much fun.
I will add
it. I got dart fever.
Oh, add to the list of future events. I actually like really hope one day in the future, y'all, the future, one day that we'll be able to do things like puzzles and games and dartboards.
As long as it's not competitive, because Shane won't play. He did not take place in the darts.
Oh, that's what puzzles are for.
That's true. Shane's a puzzle guy. He can do the puzzles.
But Shane will play games that he's good at. Like that Pictionary game that we used to play in the
pandemic.
That's
true. He will play games that he's good at.
Oh my God.
He was really good at that.
Unreal.
Game.
What is Scribble.io. Whatever.
Scribble.io. That's what it was called.
I have never seen any human as good as Shane at that game.
It was a game during the pandemic. Yeah. We were playing over Zoom.
That's what it looks like in his brain. Like, I imagine the way that he conceptualizes the world is just a series of like doodles and scribbles and black and white.
He's a very visual guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way he would not be solid at a game. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway. Merchandise. Mm-hmm. I help with merchandise. I also help a lot more with Patreon and Discord and just general community stuff. So that's you guys. And I love you. I also help with a lot of like our live events. So
that's
like
correct.
When we go on tour, I help a lot with that. And then I also help with keeping the office running and nice and tidy and full of coffee, which I drink myself. So I do have motives.
You're like Watcher's utility knife.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to just, I have like a lot of keys and I just like to put them in my back pocket when I walk around while I'm doing office stuff because it makes me feel like a middle school janitor, but like in a good way. Like
or the keymaster from The Matrix.
Yes. I have been called the keymaster.
Who's the keymaster of The Matrix?
He was that Asian guy who had a bunch of keys and he...
What does he do?
There is a hallway with a bunch of doors that led to different parts of your life. It was very...
They just had to escort him around.
That. Yeah, it was very broad kind of philosophical stuff they were doing there.
He had a long jacket.
Did have a long
They all
jacket.
Had long jackets.
Yeah, but his was actually shorter than most.
Yeah, I know. You put it at. He had like a medium jacket compared to the other people.
So you're the philosophical key master or the actual key master here.
Or like, I'm going to say it wrong. I have a really good penchant for pronouncing things terribly, which is going to make me an incredible
podcast. Oh, I'm the best at that.
Podcast.
I'm prolific.
Yes. Yeah. Ouroboros from Loki.
Yeah.
That is who I would like to be referred to as is Ouroboros from
that actually is pretty apt, honestly.
Yeah. And I think I'm that scattered brained as well. So
yo, we gotta get Key on the podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. He'll be easy get.
No, he's a fan of Worth It, right?
Then get him on the pod.
I interviewed him for at a red carpet and he was like, oh my God, you're Steven from Worth It. And I was like, holy shit, Key knows my name.
Well, you should get Key to interview him here.
Yeah.
And then maybe I could be here instead of you getting cool guests here and I'm not here.
Yeah, you got your Starfucker here. You know, just
yikes, dude.
We discussed other names for that right before we hit record.
At least I'm here for Meredith. Yeah.
Are you tired of damaging your lovely skin with cheap razors? I mean, you know, a bad morning shaving can ruin your whole day. Think about it. Should you really have to deal with cuts and irritation simply because you want to remove some hair? Does that seem fair? I don't think so. And lucky for us, neither does Henson Shaving. Henson Shaving is a family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer that has made parts for the ISS, that's the International Space Station, and the Mars Rover. And now they're bringing precision engineering to your shaving experience. Razor blades are like diving boards. The longer the board, the more wobble. The more wobble, the more nicks, cuts, and scrapes. A bad shave isn't a blade problem. No, it's an extension problem. By using aerospace-grade CNC machines, Henson makes metal razors that extend just 0.0013 inches, which is less than the thickness of a human hair. That means a secure and stable blade with a vibration-free shave. The razor has built-in channels to evacuate hair and cream, which makes clogging virtually impossible. It doesn't matter how good a razor shaves if it's all gunked up after a few uses. And let me tell you something, Henson is different. These razors have built-in channels to evacuate hair and cream, which makes clogging virtually impossible. Henson Shaving wants the best razor, not the best razor business. That means no plastic, no subscriptions, no proprietary blades, and no planned obsolescence. The Henson razor works with standard dual-edged blades to give you that old-school shave with the benefits of new-school tech. Once you own a Henson razor, it's only about $3 to $5 per year to replace the blades. It's time to say no to subscriptions and yes to a razor that'll last you a lifetime. Visit HensonShaving.com/Watcher to pick the razor for you and use the code WATCHER, and you'll get 2 years' worth of blades free with your razor. Just make sure to add them to your cart. That's 100 free blades when you head to HensonShaving.com/Watcher and use code WATCHER.
Do you think any human's capable of killing another human?
Yes.
I think so, too.
What do you mean? What kind of question is that?
I think every human is capable of murder.
That's not the question you said. I think you said, do you think a human is capable?
Yeah. I think any human is capable of murder.
Which means, yes, there are some that could.
Oh. I was thinking
all humans.
I think all humans are capable of doing horrible, horrible things.
I disagree.
Yeah, I think so.
I fully disagree
You're
running
math with me here. Yeah, I think when pushed to a certain amount, any human, like, and this is a cheap way to get you to agree with me, but sure. It's true. Let's say somebody has your mom tied up and the only way you can get her out is if you blast this guy. You're not going to do that.
This is a fallacy, though. Not this situation. The sentence at hand, because any human includes children who may not even have the physical capability
I think children kill a lot of other kids.
I'm talking about babies.
Well, I mean, that's not fair.
Well, the question proposed is not fair.
Yeah, but the thing is that that child will grow up into an adult who could then kill somebody. Maybe not a baby in that moment. Then again, you give a baby a gun, they might go goo goo gaga bang.
They do that.
They do. That's why you have to have good gun safety practice.
That's why we should take all guns and melt them down.
Oh, that's my dream scenario. But I suppose, yes. I don't really know if I would be able to do it, even if they had like my family.
I disagree. With your statement.
I think yeah. Meredith, I think you can do it.
I don't know if I could do it.
The question poses, do you have to ask, do you think you could do it? Because that's what I think.
I don't
probably
think.
Not. And not because I'm not an evil person, by the way. Just because I'm a weak-minded person.
You think if it's between some stranger or your wife, you're going to be like, sorry, Tammy, you got me.
No, it's not that. It's just like I am...
I don't believe you. I've seen the rage in you. I've seen your rage.
I don't think I...
By the way...
This guy loses one game of Super Smash Bros. His thumbs are pushing the joystick so hard, it looks like it's going to shatter.
That's false. I think that what you're posing is not a question of can I murder somebody, but more of like, can I save my wife? That's different than...
But you still are murdering somebody, technically.
Wait a second. Is the person that we're killing, like, is this the person that's got the... like them hostage, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying? Or is it just like, you know, like a random stranger, like life for life, like you have to kill this person
like
to save the person that you, it's trolley problem.
More so like it's a knee jerk reaction. Like you see a window, they're about to do it. You have to act in that moment. Otherwise your person's going to die. You have to kill them to save your person.
No.
I don't believe you.
But we all understand this is recorded. And when something comes out about Ryan, we are going to use this.
This is just me putting
out
the beacon.
It's
don't mess with my family. Okay.
Is admissible. This is a threat and
you touch
it's
my
recorded.
Wife, you touch my dog, you die. That's
everybody
what
heard that, right?
That's oh my god, your dog though is
really cute.
Unreal how beautiful his face is.
He's the cutest
dog.
Guy.
Oh my gosh. It's like a perfectly like fluffy and like round face with the nose. I met him for the first time.
I mean, I gotta tell you, if I've ever seen a peepee man, that's a peepee man.
Oh my god.
I don't think have I I've told people why on this podcast.
You said on the podcast.
I think I did, right?
Yes, you did.
Explain the peepee man.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to need an explainer.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was on a live stream.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard this.
I'm going to need an explainer. Oh.
The thing is,
I want one?
It's not as crazy as it sounds. Mm. He just recently completed his potty training, and by doing so, he has now taught himself to go outside himself and do peepee.
Adorable.
And it's been a struggle, and when
pretty young. You've done really well.
We've been drilling it, man. Yeah. Also, yeah. And he did it in the way where we wanted him to, which he rings a bell when he has to go pee. We opened the door, and then he walked outside, and I followed him outside, and he went to the little pee spot, and when he peed, I was so excited that I just started jumping up and down and shouting, "He's the pee-pee man! He's the pee-pee man!"
Oh my God.
And the nickname has stuck. And now every
that's
time
the surprising
I see his,
part.
And now every time I see his face, I'm like, it's the pee-pee man. I mean,
like, usually that sticks for like a day, but you've been saying it for over a week now.
Yeah, it's because you look at his face, that looks like a pee-pee man to me.
That,
Wife, not a big fan of the nickname, I'll say that.
Couldn't be.
I don't think it's going to stick forever. I think when he gets bigger, he'll eventually grow out of being the pee-pee man. Maybe the caca man. I forget what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
Well, Meredith.
Could Stephen kill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely could.
Wait, where did that even come from, though? Why did you even say people are capable of killing?
Oh, because I was just thinking about fighting and stuff like that. Oh. I was just like,
fair enough.
I'm not naturally a fighter, but I do think if I was pushed into a dire circumstance where I had to save a family member, I could do it.
I could debilitate somebody, but I do not.
Do you know
kill
your own
anybody.
Strength, though, Meredith? You could possibly accidentally.
I
kill
actually
somebody.
Literally, because I've been really strong since I was a kid.
Oh, shit.
So I've been like.
That's true. Meredith helped me move furniture in this office, and it was just her and I, and I was like, God damn.
Yeah. It's a thing. Apparently, my dad used to carry me. My dad is 6'10".
Me too. So,
give or and take. That's also on video.
Give or take.
That's
give or take.
Recorded.
There's
two
of you, Brian, to make that 6'10".
You could say anything as long as you say give or take.
That's a good legal defense because you've now said that you're 6'10". So,
or
if
in my opinion,
you kill someone, you could say, well, you can't use that as evidence because I've said many untrue things.
That's
in
true.
My God.
Episode.
We're
that's
saying
right.
OJ. We're like OJ Simpson, the glove fitting. Now.
I'm just gonna start saying a bunch of lies.
Oh Jesus Christ!
This couch is actually blue.
Okay. Well, my dad is Steven. Really 6'10". And he's
7 feet tall.
Oh my Lord.
I'm a very smart, funny man.
And this is why Meredith almost
which ones were the
Ryan.
Lies? All of them. All three of them.
Oh, we're understanding the fist fight, right? We're understanding like why that was a thing that we all
I think
wanted.
We should melt every gun down in the world and put them together into a giant gun statue.
I think
that's not a bad idea.
Because then all the gun nuts would be like, yeah. That's a pretty nice statue because we know they love their statues.
This is a good
Anyways,
real quick though, I did want to. I don't know if we've ever talked about this publicly, but I wanted to talk about how we met Meredith as well. Because last week we brought on Brittany.
That's right.
And Brittany told her story about how we met Brittany. So Meredith, how did we meet you? I want to hear your side of it because I know my side.
Yeah. Well, there's like a first time and there's like a first time.
Oh, she.
For both of you, actually. Yes. So the first time was in, you should be.
Oh, no.
Was in, no, you were, you, no. So the first time I met Steven was actually in your old office,
that's
which
right.
was in K-Town. Oh, you
wait.
Remember. Do you
wait,
remember?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say in my apartment, but you said in the K-Town. So.
No, it was at the
whoa.
Office. Yes, it was
oh,
at your
shared
old
space.
The shared space yeah. office. Brittany, I had a day off or something, and Brittany needed to go in probably to use the printer because we're Zillennials. We don't own printers. So she went into the office, and I was there. No, I was working. I was there like...
Oh, that's right.
Oh my
yeah.
God. I had convinced my boss. I was like, it's a Jewish holiday and we should take the day off. We take Christmas off. And he was like, you're right. Got that day off. And, and so I just like hung out with Brittany that day and we were at the office and you came in and I met you and you were kind and polite. And I said hello and we shook hands. And uh-oh. I was like, that's crazy. That's Steven. I'm going to tell my sister because she loves Steven. And then We parted ways. And then the first time was when I was your PA for Dish Granted.
Okay.
That is the time you remember. Time I remember.
Was Ryan at that office day?
No. The first time I met Ryan was at a party.
It was at the Halloween party.
No way.
Halloween party. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I had already been a PA for you maybe at least two times, and maybe had started doing copy for the brand integrations, but definitely PA. And I met you at the Halloween party, and you were a little.
Oh, I was definitely drunk.
Yeah, little, and I had heard a thing or two about all of you from Brittany at that point, as you do. Oh, and so I was like, "Here comes Ryan Vergara," and it was a grand old time. And we'll leave it at that. But that is the first time I met you.
I think I was organizing at that moment a flip cup game.
Was that the flip cup game party?
Oh, no. The flip cup
that
game
was the year
party
after.
Was the party that I organized.
Yeah.
We did it two times, though. We've done it. Okay. We've done it two times.
No, but you were just very buzzed.
You can tell Ryan went to college in 2009. Okay. That's
2000. No, well, yeah, I guess I was technically there as a freshman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, you weren't drinking though till.
No, I didn't drink till I was 21.
Yeah, so yeah. 2013.
In 2009, I don't know. I was in like elementary school.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Take that in and smoke it. Woo. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was great meeting you that first time. And then when you worked with us, we were like, whoa, you know, Meredith is very proficient, very capable. And we were like, oh, we had, at that point, we were like, we need to hire her in some capacity at some point. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the opportunity arose and we were able to connect. But yeah, you were actually also our dog handler, because at the time I had to take Ruth to the daycare for our shoots in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I need somebody who can, like, who knows dogs and understands dogs and high energy dogs. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. Brittany was like, oh, one of my really good friends, Meredith, can do it all.
Yes. So,
and you grew up around
a fox terrier. Energy. Yeah. Mm. A terrier. And I love high energy dogs. I love smart dogs. I love high energy dogs. I love all like herding dogs. So yeah. All of your like your terriers, your shepherding dogs, which is Ruth. And I remember actually like literally memory unlocked walking Ruth that time. And there was another dog on the street and she was so scared. So I had to actually pick her up to walk her the rest of the way because she just like crouched down because she was so freaked out. It's like very baby Ruth. Like now I think Ruth would probably tear this dog's head off, but then she was just a baby. So and I'm heavy team Ruth. Ruth is maybe one of my favorite dogs in the world. I love her so much. She's so smart.
You probably would not like the PP man. He's not very
high. You would love the PP
man. He's not very high energy.
That's okay. I mean, it's like if I were to get a dog, I would want a smart, high energy dog. I like shepherds, like German shepherds. I like Aussies. Like I like border collies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, when I saw your dog run, I was like, damn, that's the dog I should have got. Well, I was not prepared for this Australian.
When I
shepherd.
Saw a picture of him, I was like, he looks chill. I need someone just chill around. I'm too unchill to have another unchill being around me.
Yeah. And we'll get to the topics soon. I'm curious, does Vinny's personality resemble more yours or Mari's?
I think he's like a mix of both, honestly.
Yeah.
I think Mari and I seem pretty different, but we have a very similar vibe.
And he captures that?
He captures that. Yeah. That's sometimes cool. He has like, 2 30-minute stints a day where he'll have the zoomies and just be a complete monster. But
gotcha.
Because he's teething right now, so he doesn't understand to not bite in terms of playtime.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think he thinks I'm a giant chew toy.
Yeah. You should just, I mean, it'll
go away naturally.
I would just stick my hand in the dog's mouth, you know, as long as they know it's for play and not aggression. This is the dog person really coming out and like, it's okay. And then also it's a good way to know if your dog is salt inefficient. Like if he's like licking you too much, too long, too often, it's like, he's like getting salt from you. So it's like a salt. Yeah. Fact check me. I am frequently wrong. I love being wrong. Tell me when I'm wrong. But from what I understand, my sister was a vet tech growing up. So this is also why like I know so much about dogs. Incidentally, it's also why I know so much about cars, because my brother knows cars. So I know what they know. And so my dog growing up would lick us. And I don't mean like, for minutes would be licking us. And it was
a human popsicle.
Yeah. And it was like a salt deficiency. Anyway, the more you know.
Yeah, we could talk about dogs forever.
Or your family just has very tasty skin.
I know I do.
Let's get into that. What do you mean? Hello?
It's just that when I go to Malaysia, the mosquitoes suck me dry.
Gotta be a better way to say that, huh?
I'll say it however I want to say it.
All right. Well, let's get into these topics, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't we start with
We established that the guest can choose who goes first and where they want to go. So who do you want to go first, or do you want to go first?
I do not want to go first. Okay. I think that Ryan should go first.
Sure. I mean, I've only had one or two near-death experiences, unless you count all the times I've been in every one of my solos and Ghost Files. Every one of those feel like a near-death experience to me, especially this last one.
And by the way, I recently caught up with Mari, and I didn't know this, and maybe this is too much to share in the podcast, but she was telling me that after the trip that you went on, that you were like waking up in the middle of the night, like you were just like turning and like, did you hear that, Mari? Like you're like,
oh my god,
like you were like legitimately scared for days.
I
after
was
kind of
wigged out. I was having nightmares.
That's why I did not know this part of the job for you, that like it like goes home with you, for like it sticks with you.
I have nightmares, and this is a funny thing to say as a ghost hunter. I have nightmares that I find a ghost. Which you could just let that sink in for a second. Normally, any ghost hunter would be like, that's a dream!
I was waiting for the sentence to keep going, and then there's just dead air.
No, it was just, I had this dream that the house we were going to, there was a green blob in the middle of the ground, and it turned into a boy, and then he ran up the stairs. And I just, it was so vivid. And then, of course, we go to that house, and a bunch of crazy things happen.
Well, no, I just I didn't realize it went that far. And I'm more concerned about you now, knowing that like Mari also is like experiencing this
we're
part
worried
of
about
Ryan.
Mari.
I have to say, this is the first investigation I feel like since I've been with Mari, which is now almost 6 years, where that has really shook me that hard.
Okay.
This one was just different.
Okay.
Not to derail, but I gotta know, like, your dreams, like, can you control your... So, there's a reason I'm saying this. I can kick myself out of nightmares.
I cannot.
I did not realize that this was, like, not a thing that all people could do. I think it has to do with the fact that I'm a bit of a light sleeper as well, an extremely light sleeper. But basically, as soon as I know I'm dreaming, but as soon as I realize that I'm having a nightmare, I can like in my nightmare be like, oh, this is a nightmare, and then wake myself up.
Oh,
and I thought this was like a thing that people could do until I told my roommates, one of which is Brittany, and they looked at me like maybe I had three heads.
That is quite a skill that you have, and I'm not surprised though that you have that skill, just knowing you and the control you have over your own life.
Well, yeah, there's that.
But yeah, tell us about this near-death experience.
Tell us.
Oh, there's been a couple. One was, I've told this back on a show called BuzzFeed Unsolved. I was climbing a tree at a birthday party. I think it was like 5 or 6. And I don't know, I just slipped. And I'm pretty good at climbing trees, to be honest.
Maybe that experience would not agree
with
you.
I mean, that was the only time I'd really fallen.
But like, you could fall one time.
Oh, it could have been the last time. I'm actually surprised it wasn't the last time.
And then your legacy would be that you were bad at climbing trees.
I fell, I want to say, from maybe 7-8 feet high. And I fell.
Oh my God.
This particular tree, I don't know what the hell this design was, but it was one of those trees where, you know how sometimes trees will have like a planter around the circumference of the tree?
Yes.
Like maybe even a little fence or something?
Correct.
Well, this one, instead of a fence or dirt, like a normal person, was just piles of bricks, just bricks, like just kind of thrown on the ground, like around
thrown.
It. Like, you know, not like laid into the ground.
And you climbed the tree.
And it was like bricks that were just kind of in a pile around the tree.
Oh, God.
I fell into the pile of bricks, and one of the bricks points went into the back of like my head.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to hear more.
That's fascinating.
And I got like a little gash. And after that, I was able to see ghosts.
Stop. Did you go to the hospital? Like, what was the deal?
No need for the hospital. We just, you
know. What do you mean no need
for
the hospital?
Just rub some dirt on it.
Absolutely not.
No, I mean, it wasn't deep enough that it required stitches, but it was deep enough that I bled quite a bit.
Oh, you're not good with blood?
I just remember.
I just am experiencing it so much right now.
I haven't thought about this in a long time,
I'm short-circuiting.
But you shouldn't be able to visualize it.
Yeah, but I'm visualizing it.
That's true. According to Pod Launcher, you should not be able to visualize it.
Why? Is this the Apple thing?
Yes.
We talked about the Apple thing last week.
Oh, because I'm seeing it in Technicolor.
He can't visualize
an Apple,
but he can visualize me dying, which I don't know.
No, I can feel it. I can feel it.
Oh, like Magneto or Cerebro.
Yes, it's not a see, it's a feel, which is why I'm more viscerally reacting, because I feel it.
Yeah, it's weird because, obviously this is very common in any kind of like high impact head injury things.
Yeah.
I don't remember the fall as much, but what I do remember is getting up and feeling like my head was like really heavy. And
yeah.
I was just like, whoa. And sheesh. Everything felt floaty. And there was a kid like kind of like looking up at, like I was on the floor looking up and he was looking down at me.
Yeah.
And I just remember trying to lift my head and be like, whoa. And he was like, holy cow, dude, are you okay?
Sick.
And I just remember going, I don't know, my head hurts. And I put my hand on the back of my head. And when I brought it back in front of me, it was just covered in blood. And I was like, oh.
It's like a little coming of age movie. It's like The Sandlot.
And I was like, uh-oh, I think you might need to get my mom.
The Zapruder film.
Yeah, my God.
We got some leakage. That was pretty rough. So, I mean,
how old were you?
I was probably, I want to say like 6, 7 years old.
That's a good
like
time
that.
For it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Enough brain development to that point, I think.
Also, you know, you just like your cells bounce back faster. Like you're still.
Well, I'm waiting. And then.
Hey, now.
And then I will say, too, that happened. And then another time, also another kind of little kid accident. I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was running around in my friend's backyard playing airsoft, if you remember that.
Okay.
We had little airsoft guns and we were playing with that, and I was trying not to get shot, so I ran across this like once again a little brick kind of
you and bricks,
like a brick floor though.
Arcadia.
This was a floor, and the water the bricks were all wet because their dad had just sprayed down whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I slipped. And in the backyard his older brother had a bench press set up out there where the bench press was kind of like out. And when I was running around with airsoft, we had these masks and they look kind of like a gas mask of sorts. And with a gas mask, you have those like eyes, the little kind of goggles almost over your eyes.
Yeah.
Except these goggles were a wire mesh. And so when I slipped and ran, fell into the ground, my head went straight into the bench press. But the actual kind of the end of the barbell that's sitting on the bench press made contact with the eye mesh. Pushed it in.
Now that's my nightmare.
And then it went straight into my face, like the mesh. And so it missed my eye by about a half an inch. I have the scar still. It's right here.
It seems like he might pass out.
If people look close enough, you could actually still see the scar. And I just remember crying so hard because I was just like, oh my God. I remember crying because I was like, it wasn't like my face is disfigured or I'm scarred. It was like, my mom's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I was so scared to go home because I was like, dude, she's going to be so angry at me because she told me to be careful with these and I wasn't careful. And I did have a big old scar. It's in like my yearbook photos of just like this big, giant, grotesque scab on my face because it went like, I just remember having to pull the mesh out of my face.
they call you Ryan Burscara.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then the more recent one, I was, it was Halloween 2015, 16. I hydroplaned driving on a rainy day.
Ooh.
And just, it was so scary. I lost control of the wheel. Like I tried to turn, but the car wasn't turning.
Mm.
It just went straight into this curb. The curb had like a little curve on it. You know, like how on a sidewalk when you enter up from the street, there's like a divot so that you could enter it, but then on the sides it kind of has like a U-shape.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the U-shape, so that made my car kind of like flip a little sideways, and then it hit something else. I think it was like a wire or something, and my car did like a barrel roll. Like a full barrel, like a Fast and the Furious barrel roll.
Ooh.
And because of the barrel roll, it saved my life. Because if it wasn't for the car hitting that little wire thing, and the car doing a barrel roll, I would have went straight into a pole, like the street pole.
Yeah.
But because of that, it made me turn, and I like my car like literally dodged it and didn't cleanly land the barrel roll, but landed enough that it was on the tires. And then the whole back of my car exploded. Like, the glass was everywhere.
Oh, wait, when okay. was this?
This was, like, I was at BuzzFeed at this point.
I don't remember this happening.
Which is crazy. And I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it.
2015?
Yeah. And
okay, I think I just joined BuzzFeed, so I didn't know.
The reason why
well.
I didn't get injured is because we landed. We landed, like, the car landed on its wheels.
Now, wait, what That's month scary. Of... 2015. I'm very curious timeline wise because
October.
Okay, so I had asked you for the lighting diagram before that. So
yeah,
it wasn't the accident that
it was
affected
a heavy,
your...
It was raining, like, you know, and this is so funny. I always make fun of people who can't drive in the rain, and here I am hydroplaning. Mm-hmm. It's just in LA, it's a thing when it rains a lot, like really, really hard. There, the streets just aren't as built for it, and yeah. they get slippery. So that's what happened.
Well, it's because.
And I was going.
Scientifically speaking, it's because in LA, all the dust settles, the oil settles. They're not washed out by the rain.
Anyway, yeah. That's what I was explaining.
It all is, it's all on the ground. And then you have the rain, so it's extra slippery. It's like oil and water.
And we were driving downhill, and ever since then, I've been very scared to drive downhill.
That's fair.
You should be.
And I was, I was going fast. I wasn't like, I was going, I guess, the speed limit, but I wasn't like, oh, we're going down a hill. Maybe I should slow down a little bit, you know?
The speed limit is the speed under optimum conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when conditions worsen.
Oh, the conditions were terrible. It was a rain so hard that it was like hard to see kind of rain.
Wow.
Okay.
And then I just remember when the car landed, because it was such a big bang, a guy ran over and he was like, holy shit, dude, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I got out and I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right.
And was it a Subaru?
No, it was a Honda Accord.
Wow.
Dang.
So shout out to Honda Accord for, I guess.
They do win like number one in safety every year.
You know what's weird about that, though? Mm. The airbag didn't go off.
Don't like that.
Might have killed you.
It might have killed me, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if I did die in that car crash.
You
I
didn't.
Wonder this all the time, actually. Because I was like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all, because and this is true, it's one of still to this day one of the most vivid images in my mind. I just remember looking over at my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she's still alive. She's not my ex-girlfriend. I just remember looking over at her, and her hair was on the ceiling.
Mm.
And it's because we were upside down.
Yeah.
And I just remember that image is so seared into my brain.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because I was just like, oh my God, and like, it's because I have a lot of nightmares where I'm driving a car and the brakes don't work.
Mm.
And then I get into a crash and then I wake up. That feeling of being in the crash is so similar to the dreams of like this helplessness feeling. It was scary. Anyways, it did change my outlook on life a little bit, though. I was a little more grateful.
Yeah, maybe if I had asked for help on the lighting diagram after that accident, you would have helped me for real.
I did help you. I wrote you a diagram.
No. I think
I drew a diagram. I took time out of my day to draw a diagram for you.
I don't know.
And then you used it. It was very helpful.
If you think you died, do you think this is heaven or do you think this is hell?
Oh, hell. Let me answer that for you.
It depends on what day you're asking.
And that's why we're going to our next topic, which is working at Watcher.
It's in a way disrespectful to say that I think I'm dead, because that would mean like you are all figments of my imagination. It'd be very main character.
Well, yeah,
energy.
But you would think that we are.
But, you know, it goes into the question of like, what it really is anything? Do we know any of this is real? Like, what is actually real?
I have real existential problems, so we can't get into this right now.
I'm curious.
Oh, me
no,
too.
We can't.
Let's get into it.
No.
That's kind of what I was hoping this would open up. Wait, do you guys have any near-death experiences?
Oh, I had one. No. You go first.
My heart's beating really fast from recalling that tale.
It makes sense you're having a somatic response.
Oh man, that was a really scary day.
Yeah. But I think it also, it's like you have the infrastructure of the car to thank. Like,
thankfully the airbag did not go off.
Yeah. I think if you had been in a different car, it wouldn't have worked, but probably because of like the center of gravity of the car, how low bearing it was.
It was a piece of shit too. That helped 2003 Honda Accord.
It just crumpled around it. Yeah. I literally think it was a car.
And seatbelt worked like a dream.
So what I'm saying is, unfortunately you are alive and this is real and the car saved you.
Unfortunately, depending on who you ask.
Yeah. Do you have a near, I feel like I have a near death experience, and it is escaping me right now. I mean, I have been like a car before a car accident. Like I was pulling off a ramp and the car in front of me got T-boned. Mm. They were okay. So I can't really call that a near death experience.
Were you okay? I just realized my neck was pretty sore.
Yeah.
You had the rehab and the insurance money for that?
No, because it just went away after a while.
But you can still file for the money.
This long?
Yeah, but you should.
No. If you have... Well, that's why you don't file immediately, because a lot of the pain comes later.
Apparently what happens is you tense up when something's going like mm-hmm. that, yeah. and then your neck it hurts. But luckily, I think because the airbag didn't go off.
Yeah.
No, but you should still get, like, rehab money. Like, not to collect as cash, but, like, money to spend on you going to get rehab.
Mm. Luckily, I was young enough, too, that I could, you know, fall off a building and then be okay. If I have that happened to me today, I would probably pass away.
Oh.
No, probably not.
No.
I hurt myself last week. I hurt my lat sleeping.
Yeah, but that's different.
Mm. I hurt myself sleeping a majority of the time now, like, rolling over, because I roll around when I sleep. I'm a side sleeper.
Mm.
So sometimes my neck will be hurting for like a week, or like my lat will be sore. I actually, I tweaked my hamstring over the summer, or no, maybe a couple months ago. Whenever Napoleon was out in theaters, we were at AMC City Walk, and I had realized that I'd forgotten to get popcorn, but there was this big kind of like line, you know, the fucking things they use to block off a line,
mm-hmm,
and I didn't want to walk all the way around it, so I just kind of did my old whoopsie-doo over, like, the leg over the rope,
and that move
made me tweak my hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, yeah.
And I sat through Napoleon injured, and then after I got out, I was like, wow, my mind's that's injured age. Now, too.
What it sounds like is that you're not flexible.
Not good.
It sounds like you need to be more flexible.
Oh, I've got the dexterity of a log.
You know what Kobe Bryant said is stretch.
I've tried. I Mari and I have started to go to yoga in an attempt to make myself more flexible, and I'm a stiff guy. Every masseuse I've ever been to has been like, you are the tightest individual I've ever had a massage on. It's just because I'm so tense and anxious all the time, just like a walking ball of nerves.
Sounds like you need to go to dance class.
Ooh, ballet is good. Yeah.
Oh, not ballet. You'll hate yourself. Go to like a grooves or a hip-hop class.
Okay. I did go to one hip-hop class, Meredith.
You did?
I went to a whacking class.
You went to, okay, well, whacking is not hip-hop. Whacking is completely different.
I signed
different.
Up for a hip-hop class over at UC Irvine.
Yeah?
And because my friends were into it, and they told me, oh, it'd be fun, hip-hop, we could dance to some cool stuff. And it was like Lady Gaga whacking class.
Yeah, whacking is so difficult.
And it was like, I'm gonna get Tommy John from this shit, like, which is like your elbow gets all fucked up.
Yeah.
Can you whack?
I can whack a little bit. Like, I have my whacking basics, but I'm nowhere near foundation. My foundation is hip hop and groove.
Also, yeah, for any listeners and viewers, we did not establish up top. Meredith is a very gifted dancer, as is Brittany.
Ooh, very gifted is a stretch. I would say I'm an intermediate level dancer.
I would say if you approached anybody on the street and said, let's have a one-on-one dance battle, you would probably win that battle.
Okay, so funny you should say that. Well, I will say I am not gifted, I'm actually better at freestyle than I am at learning choreography. Brittany is very good at like retaining and executing choreography. It's an incredible talent, and she's going to kill me later for saying it on camera, but I don't care because I love her. For me, I really love freestyle. It's how I learned how to dance, and it's what I'm training to do. So I'm actually training to participate in my first freestyle battle. So yeah, if somebody walked up to me on the street, I probably would feel a little bit more confident to battle them 1v1 because it's what I'm training to do.
I'm big on dance YouTube. I watch a lot of dance videos on YouTube. I talked to Brittany about this.
Can we stop real quick and just backtrack? You said you're training for a freestyle battle?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, you know, rap ciphers? It's the same thing in the dance community.
I love them.
A dance cipher.
So
fun.
When is this happening? Can we attend? Is this going to be televised?
She's like,
So the easy answer is yes. I have two people that I am taking consistent classes with that are also freestyle dancers, and I consider them like kind of my mentors. I was at dance class last night. Shout out Crystal Jackson and shout out Tyler Singularity. So I was a guest.
His last name is Singularity?
Yeah, isn't it sick?
That's nowhere. I need to see a birth certificate.
Sick.
Not to get all Obama.
Yeah. but they're both wonderful, wonderful dancers. Like, they are like my dream. Oh my God, I'm about to de-mic myself. They're like my dream. They're my dream. That's it. That's the end of the sentence. So I train underneath them, and basically I let them know that my goal is to just participate. I don't expect to win by any stretch of the imagination. But the reason I'm saying this is because Tyler is going to help me pick what my first battle is. So I'm not sure like what that will be. It will likely be versus Style LA. And then at that point,
do you have a dance name?
I don't. Tyler will probably ask me to pick one. I might just go under my Instagram handle since it does have like some meaning to me, which is like planet and then my initials. But I don't have one yet because I'm still building out like what my character is going to be when I freestyle.
What about the Wrangler? The Bone Wrangler.
The Bone Wrangler? No, it makes me sound like a murderer. We've been over
this. You will
this.
Be murdering people well, on the dance floor.
Dance floor, boo. Tomato, tomato, tomato. But yeah, I do. Yeah, maybe I'll leave it up to a vote at Watcher. We can put like different options on the fridge.
Sounds
and pick.
Good.
But yeah, that's what I'll be doing. So depending on when it is, like I'll let you guys know if you want to go.
I would love to go.
Sometimes you're free.
I mean, the thing is, I watched one dance battle on YouTube and I was hooked ever since then. It's like my favorite type of content for dancing. It was a battle between, this is probably going to show how old I am, but it was a battle between Mike Song and Twitch, RIP.
Oh, Twitch!
It was a great battle, though. You can still find it on YouTube. I watched
that stuff was fire back then.
I watched it 2 weeks ago. It's still good.
That was the golden ages of
it
YouTube.
It was shot on like 240p, but...
do you watch Red Bull?
No.
That's like the, now it's like kind of the premier.
Like the world championships of dance, essentially.
Yeah, Red Bull is, I have feelings about it. But overall, incredible dancing if you want to watch. There are some freestyle battlers I think that you would love. Again, not good at pronouncing things. But, The Crown is like an incredible dancer. And he's actually like, he's my dance crush. I hope that nobody ever sees this. But I think he's incredible. Definitely watch Red Bull if like you're interested in watching like big battles. And you can watch really long compilations with high quality video in a way that you can't do for many other battles because it's an underground scene with intention. That's the culture. So, yeah.
Anyways. Oh, wait. Well, actually, one last question and put you on the spot because you had already mentioned Brittany's going to kill you. Oh. If you have to give Brittany a dance nickname, like her name to battle with, what would it be?
Oh, no. First of all, getting her to battle with me would be.
That'd be kind of scary.
The century.
We should do
she
a Watcher
do
dance
I'll dance battle,
battle.
You, Meredith. I'll,
there's a lot of dancers
wanna,
in this
if
office.
You, I'm not going to fight you, but I'll battle you because
oh
no one will get
God.
Hurt. Just my pride.
Oh my God. I would love that. Can we do that? Oh my God.
No, but I think the key is, and I hate that I'm saying this, I would have to try.
Yeah.
Of course you would.
Because that's often a fantasy football punishment. Like sometimes people, if you get last place in fantasy, it's like, oh, you have to go sing karaoke, but you have to really try.
Do you know what I want? Do you know what I want? I want, because we have a lot of dancers at Watcher. What I want is each of us to take one of the founders and go take you through a training period.
I'm
and
down.
Then like freaking Pokemon
battle.
Make you battle each other.
I'm down. Hey, that sounds like a great idea.
Oh my God. That would be the most fun I could possibly
I already know
I'll tell you
win.
What. If we end up, if we have a million listeners on this podcast.
Please.
I bet you, I know who would win though.
Who?
I mean, it's very easy. I think Shane would win.
What?
That's fair.
That's not who would win.
Don't underestimate that man's rhythm. He's got rhythm.
He does have rhythm.
You would not win.
I would take Shane too.
Yeah, no, he's actually pretty good. Like I've been to several weddings.
Rhythm.
I've been to several weddings
sing.
With him now, and he's could cut some rug.
I feel like he won't dance.
He will,
but if pushed, you know what I'm saying? Like
you have to push Shane.
Yeah, yeah. Like
he doesn't like
train.
Being pushed though.
That's what I mean.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if he would actually try.
I think I could make it fun.
I think if he. Well, you couldn't frame it as a competition.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd have to frame it as like a very fun.
Well, I'm not super competitive. I'm not a super competitive person.
I am, but I also know when I'm just not going to win at something because I think I am like I could dance in a funny way. You know, like not like actually. No one's going to be like, "Wow, he could really dance." They're going to be like, "Oh, look at that guy. He's having fun." Because I love dancing.
I have to show this video.
Is it me?
Yes.
Oh, there it is, dude.
Yay.
This is my wife's a dancer as well. And was showing.
Oh, teaching, I don't video
teaching
this.
Ryan the running man at Shane's wedding.
Oh,
and I'll put it
no.
up. I'll put it up.
This is me trying to shuffle.
You don't need any audio for it. But
look how drunk I am in this video, too.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
This is Shane's wedding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh. Watch these legs.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I'm fucking nailing it, dude.
It's like you're somehow combining the running man and the reject at the same time.
But see, you see a guy doing that, you're not going to be like, okay, he clearly is uncomfortable being out there, but you're not going to be like, he's very comfortable out there. You're going to be like, he's having a good time. That's the kind of dancer I am.
That's what you need in every wedding.
Because I do enjoy dancing. One of my favorite things to do when in my 20s was, you know, get drunk with my friends and then we'd go out and we'd dance with each other.
I think, Ryan, you could win. I actually think you're underselling yourself.
No, I really do think Shane would win. I'm not being like, you know, like any kind of false modesty here. I really do think Shane would win. And I think he would do it handily.
All right.
I want to know what other people think.
If we're doing a foot race, now that I would win.
Oh, boy.
But, you know.
The foot race returns.
I'm confident of that. I will outsprint anybody in this office for sure.
Well, that does it for near-death experiences.
We talked about one.
Mine was just that I was in a car, I was driving, and I was going way too fast.
How fast?
This car was stopped, and this car was stopped, and I somehow managed to swerve between them and survive, but if I hadn't nailed it, I would have died, for sure.
Oh, fuck.
I was going, like, 65 and, like,
would you say you're a cautious driver? Because I've been accused
after
of being
a teenager, that. After I got into my first accident, I drive speed limit or less. I'm a good driver in that I'm safe. I will get you there. I will not have an accident. That's who I am.
That's exactly me. And my wife makes fun of me all the time for it. She's like, you know, you could switch lanes to go a little faster. And I was like, well, you know, safety's paramount.
Yeah.
So we're safe right here.
You're getting 5 minutes.
I drive a Prius, so.
Did you remember yours?
Yeah, I was almost kidnapped.
What?
Okay,
the fuck?
I forgot.
How old were you?
I almost said a kid.
Well, I don't want you to have to unearth a repressed memory.
Oh,
if you
my
don't
God.
Want
no, it's fine. I don't remember it. Honestly, it's hearsay,
That's
I guess.
The definition of a repressed memory. It's fine. I don't remember it. It's not repressed.
I was a baby is what I mean. I was like...
Ah, there it is.
I was like...
Babies are like Etch-a-Sketches. You know.
Yeah. People that talk about like how they remember being in the womb, I'm like, slow down and calm down.
Nah, you got to get away from that person.
Lunatic. But yeah, I was maybe 4 or 5. Four or five, maybe six.
That's no baby.
And it was my grandmother's funeral. It was like the reception after my we'd all gone back to her house. And obviously the kids were playing outside because we don't know what death is. We're vibing. So we go outside to play tag or whatever it is that hooligans get up to. And apparently like this like trio of like teen girls just came up. And picked me out.
Teen kidnappers.
Teen, but you know how like age is really relative when you're younger? And it was all kids that had to report on this. The adults saw it because it came out of the house.
Yeah.
But if I do say that myself, I was a very cute baby. So I get it. I was really cute. Like I looked like a doll. I don't know what happened.
I looked like a lizard when I was born. Very dry skin.
Really?
Yeah.
I also had dry skin.
Like, doctors were concerned. Like, there's pictures of me looking dry as hell.
Did they, like, oil you?
I'm sure they'd probably just dip me in the...
Sorry. Anyway, this group of girls, like, came, and they just picked me up. And they just started walking away with me. And they were, like...
That's insane.
They were going to take me. My brother, who is, like, 5 years older than me, but, you know, old enough to start wilding, was like, oh, my God, put my sister down.
Yeah.
And then adults eventually, like, came out and broke it up. But, like, they were going. Like, they were picking me up and taking me.
Do you think if your brother had a gun, he would have killed those people?
And now we move on to our next topic. I can't deal with it.
Brought it back.
But yeah, I guess like not near death, although, you know, who's to say what those women were going to decide to do with me?
It's true.
You never know. They could have been up to no good. Yeah. They could have been like the witches.
They probably
what the fuck is
Hocus
it called?
Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. They could have been really actually old ladies and using
they
the youth.
They should have taken me.
What?
No.
You want to be turned into stew?
They would eat you.
They would eat you viciously.
They would not make you a witch.
No, I mean, maybe.
That's fair. But yeah, anyway, that's my near-death experience. I can't believe I forgot that.
That's terrifying.
And then remembered it in the middle of the podcast.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Okay, so working at Watcher is my topic, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because we get a lot of people who email our business email.
Yes.
And will say, hey, I love Watcher. Or they'll tweet at us, or they'll DM us and wherever. I love Watcher. I'd love to intern there or work there for a bit. And I apologize because I can't respond to all of them. I do see them, but I just can't. I just don't have time. But I wanted to talk a bit about it here because I want to share how much you don't want to work at Watcher. No, it's just, I thought it'd be interesting because we have Meredith, and you have probably had one of the most unique jobs here, being an assistant and then now being a coordinator and just being around the office. You're kind of like, in many ways, the, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, you have a sense of how everything is going at the office. You're like the overlord in many ways.
The evil,
like,
eye.
Well, Meredith is interesting also because she didn't technically apply to working at Watcher.
Ah, no, I didn't. I did not officially apply to work at Watcher. Technically, Brittany referred me when y'all were looking for an assistant.
That's correct.
So that was really interesting. And it was actually my first time not applying for a job as well. So that was a really, really interesting situation for me too. I have a distinct memory of, love you, Romans. I have a distinct memory of like being outside my old job, taking the call with you, like, hey, so what do you want me to do? Like hoping my boss, my past boss wouldn't come out and see me take
Romans?
My call.
Where was
Romans is a lovely bookstore out in Pasadena.
Oh yeah, yes. Romans.
So that's where I used to work. I was a social media.
I used to
media.
Love that bookstore.
It's wonderful. It hasn't changed.
I bought all my Calvin and Hobbes books there.
Yeah. Oh my god. I love books. For those that don't know, I love reading them and I love writing them. But yes, I didn't apply, and I think also one thing that makes my job kind of unique is that it's really interdepartmental. I feel like there's a lot of folks at Watcher that are really in their lane. Whereas because of the nature of what I do, it has a small effect on like everybody at every level.
Yeah.
So like it's an interesting insight as well when I'm looking, because I also sometimes would be privy to the emails that come through to like look them over, look over applications and see the viability of them. So like also kind of understanding where people could or could not work or could be placed within Watcher is also something that I think is a little unique to my job, especially because both of the jobs that I had at Watcher basically didn't exist before I joined Watcher. So there was a lot of learning like what I should be. And I think that's how I ended up having this very water-like job where I just had to move around and fill in gaps.
Well, you're like the glue of the company.
Well, that's kind. That's kind to say.
It's accurate. Like if we were going to make like a basketball analogy, it's like sometimes there's a player who maybe doesn't fill up the box score, like the counting stats that like the average viewer would see.
Russell Westbrook.
But you have a player who there's a stat in basketball called plus minus. It shows how much better the team is when you're on the court versus off. And your plus minus would be through the roof.
Shane Battier.
Or like Draymond Green.
I know that one. That last one. I know that one.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't be like Draymond Green in real life because that guy's got some anger issues. But like on the court, you'd be like Draymond Green.
Okay, so working at Watcher, I wanted to talk about it because, just to share a little bit. Well, I'm curious, and maybe this shouldn't be the forum to go over this, but what is the vibe at Watcher? How would you describe the vibe at Watcher? The company working culture. Should I start?
Oh, these scary questions.
That depends on what kind of answer you want.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. Yeah. I'm not probing for anything specifically.
No, I'll be honest. I'm being honest. It's good. It's not. I don't think it's quite what y'all think.
Thank you. You can take the shackles off now.
Shane's off camera holding a gun
dot,
to your head.
The
right
red
now.
Dot disappears from my chest. No. It's good. Y'all have a different experience with Watcher because of what you have to do. And that's totally okay. You're a talent and you're our execs. And there's a lot of work that you have to do. But then you have, I know these words are icky, but these words are true. But then there's your subordinates, right? And there's a different kind of culture from subordinate to subordinate, from subordinate to superior. This is going to be like for anybody, anywhere you go. And I think the culture for all the subordinates is really good. I'll use an example. I mean, literally Wednesday, we all took a company walk to go get lunch together.
Even that wasn't approved, Meredith.
I'm playing.
For the people out there that don't understand my terrible humor.
That is a joke. But yeah, like even before we moved offices, there was just a sense of wanting to do things together that I think is a really healthy show of like the vibe and relationship at Watcher. I think we are good at holding hands, which can be a pro and a con, but I think in our case it's mostly a pro. We want to help each other, and that shows. We want to know how each other are doing, both like personally and professionally, but we do a good job of also like drawing those lines when it's needed. So I do really love that, like, you know, we want to go on walks together, we want to pick up lunch for each other if somebody else is busy. I enjoy that, like, we play games together. I am the number one culprit. I walk in every morning and I go, it's cold and it's quiet. That's the first two things
that's nice
out of my mouth. And I turn on the heater and I turn on some music and we just kind of coexist and co-work together. And I think like that is a good description of the vibe. I think all the time we're like, it's so chaotic. And 8 times out of 10, yeah, it's pretty chaotic.
It's pretty chaotic.
But most of the time there is just like, it's just like work, 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 work. All right, let's decompress. Let's do something silly. Let's watch High School Musical clips together and bond, and then work, 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 work. All right, we need a break. Let's take a break, together, coffee, puzzle it up. Work, 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 work. Yeah. And then we go home and we shut down together.
Yeah.
And we walk out together. Yeah.
My hands were sweating so much during that. And I think it's just because I just don't ever think I'm doing a good job at anything. So like, I was like, oh, here it comes. Here's where I pay the piper.
No, well, I want to chime in here because I think when we started the company, we were like 3 of the 6 employees. So it was very easy for us.
It was a different vibe.
To have an imprint on like the culture and the vibe and like the working environment.
It felt comfortable hanging out with everybody. I would say that until about 10 employees.
It was about 10 when it starts to get a little crazy.
And then, Steven, you actually did a good job of describing, there was the one story.
Oh, yeah. We always talk about the story.
Oh, I love the story.
There were people, we had about 11 employees at the time. I was up in kind of my quote-unquote office area. It was open space, though, just working. And I hear like 3 or 4 people like chumming it up and laughing at it.
I think it was like a Friday, like Friday drinks or something.
In the kitchen area. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to like finish this email and go down there and like hang out with them. And then I had the thought in my head, like, oh my God, wait, actually, should I even go down there? I don't want to like kill the vibe. And if I go down there and it gets silent, I just ruined everything.
Dude, I laughed at you when you first told that story. I can't remember where you told it. It might have been Making Watcher or like Watcher Weekly or something like that. Mm-hmm. But now I understand.
I feel it, right? A little bit.
I don't know what number it was for me, but there was certainly a turning point where I was like, oh shit, I guess I'm the boss. That's interesting.
It's really weird. But then I realized kind of this, and I realize this now more sitting next to you, that the only way we can control the company culture is not by being a part of every moment, but it's about the people we choose to hire.
Yeah,
and I think we did a good job of hiring really good people.
I agree with that.
Who do care about each other, who care about their coworkers in more ways than one, who are responsible, who want to do good work. And that's like the best way to build a culture is just have the right people involved and then trust that they're going to then, you know, spread goodness in the company.
Agreed. Yeah. And I another part of my job obviously is live events, like we talked about, which is like parties and like office parties and office outings and excursions. And I think that those are the times that we're really excited to see you guys. And I'm not just saying this to make you feel better, but in part I'm saying it to make you feel better. We do like enjoy having y'all around when you can be around, but we do understand that you can't always be around. But I think those office outings are really important as well. And I think the fact that y'all have created a space where those are almost an expected part of like our company experience is also important to creating the overall vibe. I'm like using my work voice because like this is what I think about day in and day out. Like I'm constantly trying my best to do temperature checks like as much as possible because it's important to me. Like how people are feeling in their day to day is really important to me, both like professionally and personally. So I think I'm saying that to say I'm excited that that's part of my job as well, is like thinking about ways to make people feel, I guess, metaphorically and physically warmer when they come into work.
Like, yeah.
That's really important to me.
And that is much appreciated. So thank you for doing that.
Of course.
I think to that degree also, that's why I think I enjoy shooting Ghost Files so much. Not so much, I love doing the show. I love, you know, interacting with Shane and going out to hunt ghosts, making the show. That's all great. My favorite part about shooting Ghost Files is that we will travel together and, you know, it's usually a crew of like 7-8 people, but they're all employees at Watcher, and we all get to hang out and have fun with each other. And we otherwise would not get that time. And that's, I legitimately look forward to those trips just for that group bonding experience. And that actually is also when I feel the least like the boss, which is nice because it's a small group of people.
That's one thing I will say I've always admired about Unsolved and then Ghost Files is that you guys were very intentional about building a crew that would stick around for a long time.
Yeah.
That would become companions and be friends. And you guys, when you're out, you go and hang out together while you're in these cities.
We definitely make an effort, or at least I try to make sure that we have a fun spot to eat lunch or a fun spot to eat dinner, or everyone come to my room and we could all have some beers and then play like Mafia or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And if you were to even break up the archetypes of like me, you and Shane, I feel like you're the guy who, like, when we go to amusement parks and when you guys go on trips, you're like, you're thinking about, okay, what can we do as a group together? I'm the guy that's like, okay, how are we going to pay for all of this? And Shane's kind of like the of the people guy. Like he's not the one who's organizing, but he's like in there, like just vibing, which is vibing. You need all those kind of heads to make it work.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, literally Shane went on the walk with us on Wednesday.
Yes.
And like we definitely, I think, speaking on behalf of folks, like I think we definitely see him that way as well. Like that is how we see y'all. So you have an accurate picture of yourself, so to speak. But like one thing I wanted to say too, like for people that are maybe thinking about working at Watcher in the future or just thinking about working anywhere, I think that there's like an old saying that luck is opportunity meeting preparedness. Yeah. And I think that a good way to feel successful. Now, I understand that capitalism is a thing, y'all. So take this all with a grain of salt. But I do think like a successful application as well is when character meets skill, just like opportunity meets preparedness. You have to have a good blend of both of those things. You can be the best person ever on paper, but if your character doesn't fit the bill, then a lot of companies will look in the other direction. I think shouting out to my girl again, I think Brittany says it really well, where there's a ton of people that have the same skills as you in any given industry. So what can really set you apart is being somebody that is really pleasant to work with. And I think that that is something that Watcher has done a good job of prioritizing, and it shows in our culture.
Yeah, I think people make an effort too. I think that's, you know, it's easier said than done in some cases. Like I'm definitely very grateful for the environment that is here. But, you know, there could be other jobs. I've been at other places where the environment wasn't as nice.
Yeah.
But in those situations, I tried the best I could to just be as crazy as it sounds to me, be positive in those situations.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of sometimes the only thing that could pull you through.
Yeah. I would definitely say folks at Watcher, like, we stay and grind for each other.
Yeah.
Like, we really, really do. Like, I hear people say it. So it's great. Like, it's great.
No, I'm glad to hear that.
Let's move on to Meredith's topic, which is hobbies.
Yes, and
physical hobbies.
I was strategic. I was like, let's get through Steven and Ryan's, because I knew exactly how long it was going to take for each topic to get through them. So we can leave mine for last because it's quick. It's quick, baby. Physical hobbies. Let's talk about it.
So dance would not be considered one?
Physical movement hobbies or physical hobbies?
You know, see, this is a debate that I have with myself in the middle of the night as I stare at my blank ceiling that's blank like my mind. Yeah. Is dance a physical hobby?
That's what's racking your brain at night?
My brain moves very quickly. I think it's why I can wake myself up from dreams.
I
see.
Well, I think we need to know what you mean by physical
hobby. Yeah, what do you mean?
Because obviously dance is a physical hobby.
We'll set the scene. Yes, correct. Right now, I came to the realization that most of the things that we possess are digital, and therefore, we don't own them.
Mm-hmm.
This Whoa. was, Yeah. So let's let that sink in first. And I'm very clearly having an agenda. So sorry to everyone. But this also became really apparent to me because of my job. I work for a digital media company. Mm-hmm. Everything that I help create is digital. And let's say we move forward 100 years in the future. It's probably going to happen faster. And it's dystopia. It's probably going to happen faster. And we don't have control over our internet anymore. Everything that we've uploaded, posted, reserved in the cloud, even reserved in our laptop that's not on a physical drive, that's not ours. And I think that I had a really pivotal moment when I started like heading merchandise, where I was like, oh, here's this thing I had a part in. And now it's on my body, like in a way that nothing else I've had a part in, I can do that.
I see.
Like looking at the video that we create is obviously very fulfilling. And I love the happiness and joy it brings to our fans. That is incredibly important. And I will die on that hill forever, like forever, especially now being in Discord. I see y'all. I love y'all. But I definitely think that as we move forward, like just as a society, as a culture, it's important for us to continue to learn how to make things and then learn how to make things that we can physically hold, which is how I get into physical hobbies. So examples of a physical hobby would be this that trended. People that started making friendship a bunch bracelets. Of friendship bracelets. Like that's a hobby that not only gets you talking to people, but it's a physical thing that you can hold unless somebody steals it, which, you know, people steal stuff. Obviously, but unless somebody like steals it off your person physically, that's yours to hold and to own. An example of this can also be baking, which I recently baked cookies for the office, but it gets deeper than that, right? The recipe that I used is online. Unless I write that recipe down on a sheet of paper, that's not really like a recipe that I could refer to forever. They could delete the website and I could never get that recipe back unless I write it down. So great, I have those physical cookies, but I ate them, obviously. And so if I'm going to make them again, I'm going to need to have like a reference. So there's,
do you ever think about that when it comes to photos?
Yes. So actually that was what I was going to say. Haley, who also works at Watcher, I love her. We had been having discussions about starting to make miniature scrapbooks for a friend. Mm. So right now, most of our photos that we own are like on our phone, and that's great. And technology isn't important and we should continue to innovate in technology, but we can also make each other like little photo books, how we used to, like pocket sized photo books with cute stickers and washi tapes of all of the silly little pictures that we've taken of our friends and give them to each other.
Well, if the world ends, you know, and we lose access to internet and our phones.
Yeah.
Imagine like your wife dies and you don't have a picture of her
physically printed out. That is a very...
I think about that all the time.
It's, yeah. There's a, I think in like old movies, they would like, you know, look back at photos or something.
Yeah.
In John Wick, I think he's like scrolling through an iPad. It's kind of brutal.
It's fucking
about.
Weird. Yeah.
It's a weird
it's
little...
zooming in.
Yeah. Nice.
Like, that's what she looked like. That's like, my wife.
Obviously,
out.
You can't pinch zoom on a physical photo, but there's something to that. Like you can even see like how we've had a cultural shift in our media where like there's no expectations for us to be able to do something. So there's so many things now that I want to try. I want to learn pottery. I want to learn how to make my own soap. I want to learn how to make paper. There's a lot of psychology behind like making and crafting your own paper. And like the books I'm writing, all the books that I'm writing are like on my computer.
Sounds like you would like to be on like The Simple Life. Remember that show?
Oh, no. Am I young?
It was. Yeah, I think it was a show with...
I don't know the show.
Paris Hilton.
2004, Paris Hilton.
Yeah, they would...
And Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie, and they put them on a farm.
Oh, God.
And it was basically, they just had to live the simple life with no TV, internet, and they were basically kind of doing a lot of that stuff, crafting things.
I think it was just that poor cosplay thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, not exactly my dream. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, I do think that... there's many things that I think about way too much, but I would love for us to start blending these two things more. Because again, I think technology is important, and I think having a digital space is important, but I would really love for us to start having these things coexist, because right now one is obviously dominating the other in a way that I think will be detrimental to us later.
So when you say physical hobbies, you mean in a way something that produces something that is physical that you could keep with you.
Tangible.
So, tangible. Mm-hmm. Tactile. So, yeah. So like dancing, for example, would not be that.
No, like it would only really be like a physical. Oh, my God. This is like the hat. For those of you that know, this is like the 3D, 4D space hat. This is really funny. If you know, you're laughing. If you don't know, I'm sorry. I'm boring. but yeah, this is like if you're there watching my performance, it feels like more physical because you kind of have the memory.
You have a ticket.
You have a ticket, yeah, things like that. But like most dance now, you watch it online, and that's like not really something you own. Like in the moment, you own the performance and you own like obviously your body as you're dancing, but like you can't really you can't really like, how do I even say this? Like you can't really hold on to that, but that in and of itself, like there's a certain beauty to live shows. Like that's why live shows are important, because you can't really recreate that again.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
only have that moment, and yeah. that is exceptional as well. And it's a whole different pocket of space, which is why I think like, yeah, obviously you should dance and you should act and you should do all these things and you should perform them live.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really say it's a physical hobby. So what I am also curious about in like our last few minutes is like, if y'all wanted a physical hobby, like what would your physical hobby be?
Yeah. I mean, now knowing the descriptor for it, I was gonna say I wish I played basketball more, but that stuff wouldn't apply. One of the things I used to do a lot, and I stopped just because it's expensive, was I like having physical copies of movies, like DVDs, Blu-rays. I like a big collection. I just haven't built on it just because the space is an issue, but also once again it's expensive.
Yeah.
But it's nice to just say I physically own this. Like if like every streamer takes this movie off the internet, I could pop this into my Xbox
and watch it
and watch this bad boy.
Yeah.
Or I used to actually recently I went to my parents' house and I looked in this little box that I used to save every movie ticket stub I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is gonna be so cool to look back on later.
That's
and
cute.
I looked at the box and all the stubs were pretty much the ink had just faded to the point where you can't even tell what it is. It's just a stack of just like paper cards essentially. And I was like so stoked to open it up, and I was like, I guess I don't know what else I could have done differently. Like I thought they were in a little box, so you know, like a trading card box. I don't know how else I could have made them stay,
kept them in a laminated,
because I had some cool ones in there. I had like the Dark Knight midnight screening in there, and you know, Inception, and
you probably would have had to scrapbook it. Like you would have had to put it behind like a plastic film.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I was so sad. But yeah, I don't know. Other than that, Mari's gotten into baking a lot lately.
Oh, queen.
Which is, she's incredible at it, by the way.
Of course she is.
And then other than that, I'm trying to think of anything I would want to do, because I'm not a very crafty person. Maybe go to Steven and I'll think about it.
One thing that I will say I really admire about my wife's mom. So they used to own a little convenience store down in the OC, and they would just take like cardboard boxes or like the empty cigarette cases or whatever they had, and they would like make crafts out of it.
Yeah.
And like my wife, when she was a kid, she used to tell me that, she tells me that she used to use like those like cigarette boxes for like crafts and stuff, but then all of her friends are like, why do you have like Marlboro paper and like as your nose? He's like, what are you talking about? But yeah, just like I think that like that sort of creativity happens in environments when like, yeah, you're not on your phone all the time, you have this stuff. Yeah, we just, I don't know, like I'm just on my phone.
Yeah.
So
Would reading be a physical hobby?
Yeah, if you had the physical book.
Yeah, that's I do prefer a physical book over a Kindle.
Same.
I hate Kindles though.
There's just something about a physical book that's better, even if it is sometimes not the most convenient. Like if you're trying to,
it's that
my
paper.
My wife goes to sleep earlier than I do, and sometimes I want to read in bed, but I don't want to like, you know, turn on a little night lamp. Yeah. I have a little lamp by my bed that's like very dim, and I was reading I was reading with it a couple weeks ago, and I guess it woke her up, and she was like, hey, Ben Franklin, could you turn your fucking light off? And I was like, all right.
I
went to sleep.
The last thing I will say is that if you want a physical hobby, but you don't want to collect more clutter, I would recommend getting a hobby of something that goes away. So that's baking. You'll eat it, it will go away. You can learn how to make something like a candle or essential oil, you will use it, it will go away.
Pooping.
stop. You can plant something. You can plant food. You'll use it and it will go away. So I would recommend like that kind of physical hobby.
That actually is my biggest physical hobby.
Stop.
Anyways, let's end this podcast. Thank you so much, Meredith, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
blessing
me.
Blessing us with your time. As we all heard, your 18 jobs. You're very busy here, a watcher. Lucky to have you in all senses of the word.
We didn't even get the hearing about her time as an assistant, which
that's for the best.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what we should do? Employee only episode. Not you three.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, can I come with Ethan?
Oh my God. That sounds horrible. Yeah, sure.
Fuck it. And then we all just talk shit.
Hey man, no one could say anything meaner to me than I already do to myself.
If you actually want that, let us know in the comments below. In an employee only episode.
Yeah, how do y'all wrap these out? Do you That's see who has, is that it?
Well, whoa. You just say, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen.
And like the app over on youtube.com/watcherpodcasts.
And go get a hobby.
Oh, also audio as well. I thought you were going to continue with the audio. And also on audio, if you're listening, subscribe and rate the podcast.
I'll go get a hobby.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.